Welcome back to the Ministry Without Hating It podcast, brought to you in partnership with Odyssey Haven Coaching and Counseling, dedicated to the pursuit of answering the question, is it possible to do ministry without hating it? We have a theory that it just might be. Hey, I'm Chad Garrison. I'm here with my buddy, my friend, Brenton Hill. Brenton, how are we doing today?
We are doing very well.
Mm-hmm. We're doing very well because we just had a really great interview and really great conversation with a couple of guys who I have known for quite a while. I know you just met today, Brenton. Mm-hmm. Their names are Drew Dodd and Fred Schmidt. Drew and Fred both serve in local church ministry settings and also host the Next 40 podcast, which is available anywhere you can listen to your podcast. Fun side note, Drew attended the same college as my wife, Lindsay, and I. And through Lindsay, Drew met my sister and became my brother-in-law 18 years ago. So through Drew, I met Fred, and I have just always appreciated and valued their approach to life and the journey we call ministry. And I think you guys will too when you listen to our conversation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it just sounded like you were trying to sing like I'm my own grandpa as you were talking. Like, through this person, I met this person, and then
I was about to say like this is the total 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon, but I can't fit him in there.
Yeah.
But
well, so we talk about Kevin Bacon today, Britney Spears. I mean, we hit all the heavy topics.
Yeah. Best chicken sandwich.
Yeah. The favorite flavor of deodorant,
the current state of the MCU. And so it's funny. They actually make mention that we actually become the Next 40 podcast in the middle of this. And so I think you guys will all see that, it's a lot of fun. Ministry is supposed to be fun, right? Otherwise we're not going to do it for very long. And so just some of the wisdom and things that they have learned just in the short time too, that they've been doing their own podcast and how that's translated over into ministry. Just great stuff. And so really excited for everyone to hear this today. So, Brenton, why don't you tell us a little bit about Drew and Fred before we jump into the episode?
Absolutely. Fred Schmidt has spent the last 18 years doing youth ministry in a local church. Fred has recruited and equipped teams of volunteers on the front line of student ministry. Fred has led initiatives to resource parents to actively participate in the spiritual growth of their students and collaborated with other staff members and elders on projects that impact the entire ministry of the church. He now serves as pastoral care minister in a role where he is working to create a culture of care in his community and congregation. Fred graduated with a bachelor's degree in biblical studies, youth ministry from Cincinnati Christian University, and a master's degree in pastoral leadership. He is also a certified youth ministry coach through the National Association of Youth Ministry. Fred has been married to Aaron for 17 years and has two children, Eliana and Everett. Drew Dodd has been in ministry for the last 19 years. 15 of those were spent in student ministry with a couple of stints as a worship minister as well. Currently, he is a discipleship minister who oversees small groups, growth class, and micro groups. He's been married to Emily for 18 years and has two daughters, Chloe and Samantha. We hope you enjoy our conversation with Fred Schmidt and Drew Dodd.
It is great to have you here. I know you guys have a lot going on, and so I want to say thank you for your time, but welcome to the Ministry Without Hating It podcast.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
So we like to start off with a question that we ask all of our guests, kind of give us a baseline as we move forward. So could each of you tell me, what does the word ministry mean to you?
Yeah, the word ministry to me means doing whatever you can to allow God to work through you so that his kingdom can advance and so that glory can be given to him here on the earth. And that looks... it's very vague, and I know it's broad, but I think ministry takes a lot of shapes and forms, and so, and a lot of different personalities.
Yeah, I would not have answered this question the way I'm about to. Maybe most of my ministry life, which is, most of my life at this point, but I kind of lean into what Paul talks about in Colossians, where he talks about presenting everyone mature in Christ, that I just see ministry as the, as Fred talked about, being able to give glory to God, but the pushing of people in the direction of Jesus and them obeying his commands and all of that sort of thing. That, you know, at the end of the day, just trying to make people mature and be like Jesus. And at the same time, that happens to me in the process, which is the kind of mystery of it all.
All right, Drew, since you threw out scripture, I'm going to put scripture into my answer too. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus, good
scripture. That's people what I how, yeah. How spiritual you two are right off the top. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. I was going to quote some leadership guru, but he went in the scripture. So I'll just,
you can do both.
As you were mentioning that, Drew, that Ephesians 2:10 is my life verse. So it's that, being a new creation in Christ so that we can walk in the good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So like ministry is walking in those works, but then also helping others discover and walk in those things as well. So.
Okay. So you both kind of, let me, this actually ties in great with the next question, because that really is, how has your journey shaped the definition as you've gone your own journeys? And Drew, you specifically said, you know, I don't know if I would have answered this until maybe even recently. So what has changed, or what are the things that have shaped the way you guys actually perceive and define ministry?
I'll give you the fast forwarded version of the story. I went to Exponential, which is a church planning discipleship conference. Is it Dave Ferguson, I think, and that crew. And while I was there, I attended some discipleship workshops. I would have told you discipleship is the typical class track of like a 101, 201, 301, whatever. I go into these workshops and nobody thinks that. And I'm like, okay, like, because I, as many of our generation have, I was sort of formed on the Saddleback principles of church growth and all that sort of stuff. And so I'm sitting there listening to these guys who are just reshaping my brain. And I start reading scripture and I'm like, you know, Jesus didn't do it this way. Like Jesus just walked with people and in relationship. And so that was February 2020, my worship guy and I, we got back from Orlando and our church shut down for the pandemic.
Right.
Now I'm like figuring out, okay, I've got this new thing, or which is actually an old thing, right? It's Jesus. So it's not new. But how do I do this? And I just start stepping into discipling relationships. Mm-hmm. And I realize that I'm not 100% sure I ever made a disciple in the first 16 years of ministry. Not that didn't help people take steps towards Jesus. Not that I don't have kids from the youth groups that I had doing Jesus-like things. And in spite of me, God is going to do what he's going to do, right? But as I think about ministry now, my heart and soul is for discipling relationships, mm-hmm. because that's the way Jesus did it. And what does that mean, like, for the future of ministry and all that sort of stuff is still kind of up in the air. But that's how it's different, because I would have said, you know, church program, be here, come to the building on Sunday. My new vision is that we don't need four walls. I mean, we were talking prior to starting recording, you brought up Kerry Newhoff, and like he just tweeted this week something along the lines of, if you think as a church leader, if you think the future of the church is being in seats on Sunday morning, maybe he said you have your head in the sand or something of that nature, right? That that the localized expression of the church will always be, but the future is probably not in big buildings or all of that. So, did I answer your question?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
I start rambling, and I don't know. I just
no, it's good.
Yeah, it does shape the way I do ministry in terms of, I feel like every person I come into contact with has something to offer, that God can use. And so I'm always just kind of looking for that throughout conversation as I get to know them. And it's not like an ulterior motive, but I feel like it's kind of like a helpful way to help them stewardship and make sense of their existence. And a lot of people are searching and trying to figure out how does faith become real and that type of thing. And why do I go through these types of things that I've gone through, these experiences that I have, or, you know, I have these gifts, or I'm a banker or whatever it is. What could I possibly offer to a ministry that God could use? And so that's what Ephesians 2:10 is. It kind of just is a regular reminder that to kind of have eyes to see those things and asking God meetings that I would have with people to just reaffirm them, encourage them towards that end.
I love both of those.
You have to say you love both. You can't be like, well, one of those is good and not the other.
Yeah. No,
please, don't hit that. Please leave all of this.
Great job.
Yeah. This is, yeah.
Drew, yours was good. I mean, Fred, if I was going to rate it.
7.5. If it's 7.5, that's what Drew says about me all the time. So it's all good.
I'm shooting for that.
D's get degrees, right? So it's
exactly. Solid C. Solid, yeah. C. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Get the C, I'll be fine. No, I had a just, it's interesting you said that, because I feel like I had a recent revelation even into the new year when it comes to what ministry is about, also in going back to discipleship. And that has always been a part. It's not necessarily been programmatic, because for me, walking with has always been something I've never shied away from. In fact, I actually prefer that when it comes to ministry, especially even with leadership development. However, I read this book called Disciple Shift. Mm-hmm. Actually comes from the Exponential guys as well. Mm-hmm. And they had this real simple definition, because when it comes to discipleship, we often have a really wide view, kind of like this generalist, you know, everyone's got a different way. And he said, no, Jesus really defined it pretty simply when he called out his disciples and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, and how he breaks that down. And that's really what we've taken and run with within our own ministry here, of that this is our baseline definition of what a disciple is, someone who follows. And that long middle part, and the longest part of that scripture even, of and I will make you, which everyone wants to jump over and just go into the fishers of men and mm-hmm. serving, mm-hmm. and that makes me feel good. But that there really is a shift and change that has to take place. And so I love what you guys are saying. And I think that's actually what we need now within ministry, is it's not going to be about the four walls, the production, the programs, right? It's going to be, no, just as you go, as Jesus would say, as you go, we're making disciples. And that's, you know, more and more like Jesus Christ. So,
yeah.
Good job on both of you.
Well, and I love the what God is doing in the second, because that's exactly discipleship, Jim Putnam. That, I mean, that's,
yes,
exactly the guys who I was listening to in 2020. Okay. Going,
perfect.
Oh, wait, like, have I had this wrong all of this time? Like, yeah. And, you know, that could be a different podcast of giving grace to the past and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, that follow, that transform, that on mission four is just, it's what we're called to. And we've in a lot of ways, and this is going to be redundant for Fred because he hears me talk about this all the time, but like, we've at even at times we have educated, well, even Putnam, who wrote that book, would say we have been educated beyond our own obedience. That we have been so focused on information which almost never leads to transformation. But we can score that, right? I can check the box that you've been through a class, so you must be on the road to transformation. And the reality is it, in my experience, it just doesn't always work that way.
Yeah.
So I'll get off my soapbox. Sorry. Here we go.
No, that's a good one. It needs to be stood up.
Yeah, we gotta kill event based spirituality. Like, it's
Wow, that's good. Well, I don't move away from this, but I do think this is some important things. I think it does tie into maybe some of the other questions I had, because just kind of give a little background. You guys started a podcast a couple of years ago, right? Called, yeah, The Next, yep, 40. And for those who aren't aware, because we probably have some, we don't have same potentially, talk to us about what this podcast is about, maybe the origin story, name, meaning, all the fun things. Tell us about the Next 40.
Yeah, so the origin of the podcast kind of goes all the way back to like the mid 2000s, where we had tried to do a podcast, Drew and I did, and it was very short lived. It didn't go anywhere. We really didn't have a whole lot of intentionality, and we weren't sure about what we were doing at that time. So we kind of just tabled it, and it kind of just, it would resurface from time to time. Hey, we should do a podcast, and never kind of, we never really felt like we were there to be able to do it. And then in 2020, I actually got COVID, and in the fall of 2020, you were really kind of ostracized. Like it was borderline leprosy type of stuff if you got COVID back in fall 2020. So like, I was like in my room, my wife was basically like setting my dinner at the door, and then I was able to open the door and get it. And then like, I just was like, I was falling into this like depression because I was completely isolated from virtually everybody. And I was like, this is not right. This is obviously not good. This is driving me further into a darker place. And I was like, I need conversations with people. I need conversations with people in my life that I love, that I get to spend time with. And so like, I just remember, and we have these on occasion where we get together with people, and whether it's on the front porch or like out back, you know, and you're hanging out, and even in your living room, like you're hanging out with friends. It's a blast. Everyone's enjoying it. It's kind of one of those get togethers where then like you kind of look at your watch, you're like, okay, we should go, but then you end up staying another 30 minutes, you know? And then you look at your watch again and go, oh, I should probably go. And then, but the conversation just keeps going, and it's just good. It's, you know, it's feeding your soul, and you don't really want to leave. And so I was like, was talking with Drew on the phone, and he said like, you know, I could probably be talked into doing a podcast. And I was like, well, I think, okay, let's talk about this. And so we spent a lot of time trying to work behind the scenes, figuring out what the feel of the podcast would be. And so that's kind of the vibe of the show, is it's those conversations, and that they would, they wouldn't be work, a whole lot of work to listen to. It would be some, you know, you just come along for the ride. And we're excited about the future and kind of where we're heading, because we've talked about a lot of different topics from a lot of different things, but we're actually in the process of moving towards, just allowing our faith to kind of come through those conversations a little more than they have in the past. So just to continue to be authentic to how we go. Drew, did I miss anything in terms of the journey there? I felt like I talked for too long there.
No, I think you got it all. I think, you know, one of the things that, as you're talking about the front porch, back deck, living room conversations, we just found ourselves having conversations that we were like, somebody else might actually be interested in this. Somebody else might like have wanted to hear this. I mean, Chad, I don't know about you guys, but Fred and I feel like we could record podcasts before we record the podcast, because we get together. Uh-huh. The opening and ending conversations often are just as good as whatever we like planned on doing. And so, I think, you know, part of it too is that as we've gone through a little bit, we've maybe by God's grace cultivated a community of people that just know the two of us from various walks. I mean, we both interned at the same church, so we have some crossover that way. But as Fred said, we're excited about sort of the pivot that we made. And we've even talked about this. I don't fully remember why we chose. We just chose not to be ministers on the podcast. Does that make sense? Like, our faith would still come through. I think people knew we worked at a church, but we, I don't know. We decided maybe we wanted to be more accessible, but then in the last couple of weeks, we've just been like, yeah, we should probably not just stop doing that and just be who we are and not have to, you know, feel like we're not bringing all of ourselves to it, you know? So,
It's interesting, especially as you talk about even kind of maybe even a recent revelation when you're talking about discipleship. That's a fun way to tie in what we were just talking about. you can almost see the shift just in what you're talking about, that, you know, okay, so we're building relationship, and you guys have definitely, we'll get to that in a second. I feel like you've really done a good job in building community in a digital space for sure. But now, as you're walking and built a relationship, now you're starting to go, there's supposed to be a little bit more to this. And, you know, I'm with you when it comes to, I don't even like to get on a plane sometimes, because I'm inevitably going to be sitting next to somebody, and, you know, you have a conversation, right? And we're just kind of spitballing, talking football, whatever it is. And as soon as, you know, they ask, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. All of a sudden I start hearing about the last time they were in church, or, you know, and suddenly they don't swear as much around me. And it's like, oh, did we just lost all of that, right? I mean, would you say is that some of the, I don't say fear, but maybe some of the thought when you guys have been kind of working through with that?
So, I mean, I think we just kind of wanted to disarm a little bit of that, and not have the, I didn't want to start the whole journey with a hierarchy in place, like, you know, as in like we're somehow, you know, I know what scripture says about teachers and being held to higher standards and those types of things and that type of stuff. But there's a connotation like you were mentioning there. And so it's very much, I guess that's that airplane conversation very much kind of describes the journey of the podcast, is like, hey, let's talk as long as we can without dropping the minister word or the pastor word in there. And of course this is who we are, but the longer that conversation goes, the harder it is to just, you know, kind of maneuver around it. And so we've just decided now we're going to lean into it. And at this point too, we've done 70 plus episodes. So if people have been tracking with us for any number of time, then they trust us enough to allow us to go into a new direction. We're seeing some good affirmation already from people that have been with us that enjoy the fact that we're going this direction. So,
well, and I think the other, I guess maybe just for clarity, if someone's thinking this, like there wasn't any intentional bait and switch here. Like I'm with Fred. We wanted to the hierarchy piece. We wanted to disarm, but it wasn't like this, intentional strategy where we're going to suck everybody in, then we're going to drop Jesus on them. The reality is that we just, you know, that airplane conversation that you talked about, if you're in ministry, you've had that. Like my next door neighbor, when I talk to him, if he cusses, he goes, oh, I'm sorry, man. Like, listen, I'm not counting up your sins, and I'm not sending like the email to God right now that you just cussed. Like, it's fine. You don't have to be that guy, you know, but most people still have a reverence for the position. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't have a reverence for God himself. And so, I think part of that was that because the other reality, Fred, I mean, I think I can speak for us. You and I can go for hours on matters of the church, on matters of faith, on like all of these things. And we just weren't sure anybody wanted to hear that. And now we, you know, and now we don't care.
Well, yeah.
And will listen to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, go for it.
Well, no, I mean, the whole thing too, back, we were kind of talking about this before we started recording, like, I would be talking about Jesus and my faith if I wasn't a minister.
Right.
Right.
So to keep that out of these conversations, it's just not true to who I am at the core, title stripped away, type of thing.
Yeah. I think it's great. Well, and it's interesting you say that, because my next question, and I'll preface this. I know for Brenton and I, we did talk about a little with you guys just before we got on, like you said, maybe we do need to hit record when everything starts, right? Because that's when all the stuff we end up referencing comes out anyway.
I did hit record before, so.
Well, clutch. Maybe so there'll be clutch. A bonus. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen here?
Got that trust.
In Brenton, I trust. Yeah. But I say, all this to say, I was going to say, you know, doing this podcast has been quite a growing experience for us. And we've only been doing it, you know, we started producing in the spring, and obviously it's pre-production, all that fun stuff. So it's not been very long for us, but I feel like I've been stretched and grown in some ways, and even just by listening to some of our guests, you think all things like technically, vocationally, spiritually. And as you guys have been going through this, and you've kind of answered this a little bit, and so I'm wondering if you can maybe pull it out a little bit more, but what are some of like the major themes or areas or things that you've seen within you where you feel like you've grown because of being able to have this outlet and to do this?
Because I think I've been stretched because we, you know, when you have a topic each week, the way we've approached this, like we've had to like do this extra work at times, which is also possibly part of the pivot. Right. We would find topics that we wanted to talk about. And then, you know, you got the scheduling, as you guys know, since you have a lot of guests on, you got to try to find people who sort of fit that, and you kind of create a narrative and these sorts of things. But I'm just stretched because every day we get to have these conversations, whether it be me and Fred sharpening each other, or whether we have, you know, a guy on who works at a Renaissance fair, and I get to listen to how he jousts, and I get curious. Like, we had, what was his name, Fred?
Dan Ott. Yeah.
Yeah. We had Dan Ott on, who works at a Tampa Bay Renaissance fair. And we did the interview with him in his van that he sleeps in, and he's a jouster, and he wears the armor, and he does all of the things. And like, I'm fascinated. Like, I was just so like, my curiosity has actually in a lot of ways has grown for things that aren't always in my realm. And, I think that had kind of dried up a little bit. And I think maybe that does when you get older, right? You start to lose imagination. You start to get ground down by life and adulthood and all of that. So that for me probably is the curiosity coming back has been great.
Yeah. I think for me, the growth was, so there's the content portion of the podcast, but then there's also the behind the scenes nuts and bolts, figuring out how to actually record, piece together, distribute, you know, figuring out all of that stuff out. That's a huge like layer of growth. And that's actually been great to just keep getting the reps in to put out a podcast. And it's kind of sometimes the win is just getting the show out and the fact that, you know, it may not be the killer show that you kind of want, but it's the one that is out there and, you know, just keep getting the reps in. And that's been an area of growth. And then the other thing, too, I think where I've grown is just owning my story and owning all of my story. We've talked about so many different things and I've had to come up with stories and be reminded of stories and these types of things. And I just, it's kind of been a way to just holistically own who I am. Mm-hmm. And, there's good parts. There's bad parts. There's stuff that, you know, like I'm into that. I don't know if maybe I would front and center say that at church, hey, I'm into this stuff. But if people listen to the podcast, then they know, I'm into it. And it's been fun, like being, you know, out in the wild and someone says, hey, you mentioned, you know, many motorways on your podcast. And yeah, my wife rolls her eyes at me too when I play that, you know, on my phone. Like, all right.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking more about that Backstreet Boys shirt you really like.
That is true ownership right there.
Yeah. It's, well, I was in sync more than Backstreet Boys, but.
Well, it's funny that
my sister listened to it. My sister. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'll go.
It's funny that you say that, Fred, because my girls listen to our podcast. My mom listens to our podcast. My dad does. And I tell stories. And like when I started telling stories of me skipping in high school, my mother, who lives across the street, was just like, say what? Yeah. My daughters are like, Dad, you skip. Like, did you feel guilty? And I'm like, no. Like, why would I feel?
No.
So to the owning your story, there's a level of trying to remember these stories that maybe have been buried, right? But also what comes with that, having to own that, like in front of my mom as she goes, so you like snuck your brother out of high school in the trunk past the cop. So, yeah.
Well, that's what brothers do.
You brought back a core memory for me that I had long forgotten when you started talking about the NSYNC or Backstreet Boys shirt. My my eighth grade school, I went to a private school, and somebody left a Britney Spears t-shirt there. We weren't allowed to wear shirts that had any writing or anything on it, so they had to change it, and it ended up in the lost and found. And the way the school worked is if it was in the lost and found for more than a week, it just became fair game. And so I snagged the Britney Spears t-shirt that was purple. And every Friday, we had like last half of the day we could wear whatever, you know, as long as it. And so I would sport that Britney Spears t-shirt every Friday.
So, wow. So you could wear the shirt.
This is a new level. Guys, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, I just need a moment. I feel like, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Fred. Yeah.
Fred and I got the follow up.
I've got more questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Please do.
We take
please
over
do,
the interview yes. at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Do go it. For it.
Do it.
So if the Britney Spears shirt just had a picture of Britney Spears on it, but no writing on it, that's fair game. But because it had writing on it, it was like, no.
Well, so we could pay like $1 every week and Friday, the last half of Friday. So after lunch till the end of the school day, we could, you know, you paid your $1 and it was like this fundraiser for whatever they were trying to raise money for. And it just all rules went out the window.
This is like
my mind is blown right now.
Well, yeah. I don't. It's like Rumspringa for Amish people on Fridays. Like I pay $1 and I can do whatever I want.
Yep. Yep. It's my penance. Pay it and you can do whatever.
I just assumed it was like no graven images, that sort of thing.
No, it was. I feel like I need to help you guys just a little bit because, you know, this does speak to some of the straight laced bit of Brenton that I have just come to know and love for many years. And the fact that he was like, this was my rebellious act, was to bring out Britney.
I love it.
It's.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have been skipping school, but I wouldn't have been sporting that.
No, yeah.
Not... That's where I draw the line. I draw the line at Britney.
I didn't listen to Britney, but I had her shirt. So.
Oh, really? That was my next question for you was what, top Britney Spears song for you?
by like default, you know, the radio hits, but that was all I knew.
But give me a deep cut then.
Hit me, baby. One more time.
that's not a deep cut, Brenton. No,
that yeah, that's what I know.
That's the shallowest cut, yeah, actually.
That's the one.
That's what I know.
That even Britney's like, I hate that song.
Yeah.
Drew, what's your favorite Britney Spears song?
Let's see. I don't know. I just know. I remember the music videos. You know, I'm old enough to still remember MTV.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah. I think
whatever when they played music videos. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, whatever the space one was.
That was Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah.
It
doesn't.
Yep. I'll claim. I'm sorry that I know a lot more about Britney than I think I realized.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, wow. We've added you as well.
So the title is now the Britney episode.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, what an illuminating day this has been already. And I haven't asked like three of the questions that I have for you. That's incredible.
Yeah. This is what Next 40 does.
This is it.
Wonderful. We have officially crossed over. This is fantastic.
Is this what rolls into our lightning round?
Crossroads. That's another Britney Spears reference.
Crossroads. That was a
good cut.
That was a
good job.
Terrible movie. But yes. Yes, it did happen. It did happen. I do have one more question, maybe with the podcast specifically, and maybe tying it to ministry. I'm curious how this podcast for you guys has enhanced your ministry journey.
I think for me, it just has been helpful to like speak some of these things out loud. Even if we haven't been very ministry focused, I think having conversations regularly has sharpened the way I talk and the way I process things on the fly. I think, as we think about who our audience is, we try to take things in that direction. And so it expands even the way I relate to people. I mean, as Fred and I have begun to make this pivot, I just started talking about that. I think that there's a large group of people out there who feel isolated, and they find community, even in a virtual sense, because I've talked about my neighbor, like he and I text regularly, but I very rarely talk to him in person. As I start thinking about that, I start thinking about like, okay, so what does that mean in a ministry context? And I found, honestly, because I'm thinking about our audience and we're responding to comments in our Facebook group and all of this sort of stuff, like I'm finding myself leaning more on sending a text. But did you say, Fred, one time that like sending a text is as good as sending a letter these days? Or what, you said something along those lines.
Yeah, it's kind of like the new handwritten note.
That's it. You know, and so I find myself stopping more often as we've gone on this journey to just say, hey, man, I'm thinking about you. Hey, I'm praying for you, even if there's not been a string of texts going on. And I wouldn't have said that would have been the case going into this. I'm like, I'm just going to hang out with Fred and we're just going to talk and be goofballs and do our thing. And but I think because of that process, I has increase that piece of my ministry. So
yeah, I think really just as I've been in ministry for, I mean, it's going on 2 decades here. I look out at the future landscape of things, and it's, I think if I'm my healthiest in ministry when I'm in relationship with other people. And so if the podcast helps to facilitate those conversations, whether with Drew, and then it's a gateway to anyone that might listen and can, you know, contribute a comment online or in real life, you know, conversation face to face. If it's opening doors to those conversations, then it's going to, I think, preserve me for the long haul when it comes to doing ministry and serving people. So that's, I think it's just a tool towards that end.
Well, it's interesting you guys said that because, excuse me. Recently you guys were talking about, it was a Wrexham, Welcome to Wrexham episode, which thank you, Drew. That's the gift that has given and given.
You're welcome.
Passing that along. And if you're unfamiliar, go ahead and Google it. Gets a little sweary, but it's worth it. Can I say that as a pastor? Well, it's Welsh Football Club. So what do you expect? Right. And so, anyway, one of the things, it's really interesting, that episode, I was listening to it, kind of morphs into this conversation of something you guys were just talking about a lot and how that's become a major component. That's community. And I'm curious, kind of tying once again back, you know, to ministry, what you guys have learned about creating community in the digital space and really how that should translate to ministry today. Because, I mean, it's a major component, whether you want it to be or not. So what are the things that you guys have pulled from that you feel like even ministry leaders could really, really should grab a hold of?
Yeah. I don't think you can force it. That's kind of what I think we've learned too along the way, is if you're authentic to who you are and just trust that authenticity will come through, and then other people will either decide not to be a part of it because they're not, you know, kind of in that same realm, or they'll track along probably more than you think they will. And that's surprising. Oftentimes I think in ministry, what I've found is as I've tried to create community is I'm trying to kind of be too many things to too many people. And it's like you shortchange almost everybody that way. It's like, just go ahead and be the creation that God is, you know, made you to be, and then trust that whatever impact or whatever you know, growth that will come about because of that is because of him. But really at the heart of building a community is establishing trust. So it's kind of authenticity and establishing trust. And so even if we're putting out an episode that we don't feel the greatest about, the fact that we've showed up again in somebody's subscription, you know, on that Wednesday, that's another opportunity to just establish trust. Like, I know that when I open my phone and go to the podcast app, there will be a new episode every week, you know, so that's just kind of the subtle way to build trust. And then, you know, when people would, if anybody would go out of their way to like actually comment or be a part of like a Facebook group or anything like that, we're in there trying to respond to those things. And, and really keep that conversation going as much as we can, because it's that trust thing. So it's, yeah, kind of just authenticity and trust, I think, are the two big things I would lean on there.
Yeah, I would just second that, the authenticity part. I mean, being real just draws people in, you know, from the very beginning. We haven't hid our flaws, our weird things, you know, like we are who we are. And I think when you do ministry, I mean, that just creates community as well. People are drawn to somebody who, and it sounds very strategic, and I don't mean it that way. So I don't want somebody to go, oh, I haven't been authentic, so I'll go do that now, and now I'll have a community. Like, you know,
yep.
Being real is not a buzzword. It's just like what Jesus calls us to. Like, mm-hmm. holistically, we follow mm-hmm. Jesus in all aspects of our lives. That will create community, because people will go, oh, that person's broken too. Oh, that person can be real with what he's dealing with, what she's dealing with. And I think we've done our best, particularly on the podcast and even in our Facebook group, to just own all of it. You know, I mean, when Fred and I want to argue about songs, or when we want to argue about what the best fast food chain is, or like whatever, like we just own all of that stuff. And then when we don't parent well, and when we're not good husbands, and those stories come out, like we just own it, because it's just who we are. Yeah. And I just think people just gravitate to that. Again, not as a strategy, just be who God made you to be.
Yeah. And I think it's good that you prefaced that, because I think too, if you try to make it a strategy, people can tell, like, they, you know, at their core, you might be able to fool some people, but people can tell when you're not being real, or this is the, you know, I had a guy actually this weekend, he was like, oh, you don't have to be in pastor mode with me. And I'm like, first of all, I don't even know what that is. So what's up, you know, kind of a thing. But second, like that, no, as I thought about later, it's like, oh no, I know what that is. That's, you know, hey, how's it going? Everything, you know, and it's like, that's not, people can tell when that's not real. So I put in there something in the show notes we sent you guys before. I wanted to try, and I was a little inspired by how you guys open up, particularly even recently, Fred, you humming different songs at the beginning of your podcast, and Drew trying to, and man, Drew, good on you for guessing them, because there was one I listened to and I'm like, I don't even know what he's doing, and you somehow picked it up. So
I listened back to it and I don't know how he got it either. Exactly.
I'm a savant. What do you want me to say?
So I thought, okay, let's try to incorporate something. And if this sticks, then you guys have helped us officially create something for season two that we will now incorporate with all of our guests. But we want to call this one the lightning round. And they're questions that have nothing to do with ministry, but they have to be asked anyways.
Absolutely. Okay?
Ready.
Okay. Yep.
Both are on. Okay. So I'll do the first one. Best fast food chicken sandwich. Go.
Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
It's got to be the Chick-fil-A spicy, though.
No. It's number one. It's the original.
Interesting. May I submit the Popeye's chicken sandwich to this conversation?
Can, but could be wrong.
can't be wrong.
But I failed. Okay, so got it.
It's your show. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's it. I'll just wait till we get to the MCU question. All right, go ahead.
So no, I'm all on board on the spicy breakfast, like the biscuit from Chick-fil-A.
Oh, interesting.
That's the one I'm all in on.
Nice.
I didn't see that twist coming. So we got Britney Spears and the spicy breakfast.
Yeah. Sandwich. You know how this to start my morning. Good. Just show up with a...
Oops, I did it again.
Oops, I brought you the wrong sandwich. Favorite flavor of deodorant?
Old Spice Swagger.
I haven't tasted any of them, so I'm not sure I know what my favorite taste is.
That was intentional, but you. Yeah.
I think I rock a Dove for men.
Oh, nice.
I didn't, what's it? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know they made a Dove for men.
Yeah, I have not bought deodorant since I've been married. It just kind of shows up. And so I just kind of wear whatever shows up there. And so that's my favorite flavor, though. Well, the ones I don't think about.
Yeah, the joy of the magic of marriage. You just acquire things that you don't even know.
I know. My wife is very particular. There are certain ones. She doesn't even like cologne. I've never been a cologne guy anyway. But no, it's Old Spice also. Okay. Your preference, sloppy wet or unforeseen?
I'm unforeseen.
Yeah.
Unforeseen. Okay.
Completely both unforeseen. Yep.
Okay. Tell me why. Tell me why.
I mean, I like to think that God is not a Saint Bernard. So. Thank you.
Nailed it. I can't top that. Like that's, I can understand the what is being attempted there. It just feels weird. So yeah.
Saint Bernard, that hits it right on the head. Okay. Your thoughts on the current state and direction of the MCU. Go.
Fred, you start.
I have no care in the world about this. So, I'm sorry. I dip out of this. I could not care less about Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, I will afford my time to Drew. Go for it, Drew.
You just crushed my heart. That's fine. That's fine. I'm going to own it. And you're owning it too. And I appreciate that.
I am. I can't be fake about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Current state. I've liked some of the TV shows they've put out. I hope that we get out of space, like this phase hurries up and we stop messing with multiple dimensions and get back to what Marvel tended to be, which is grounded, particularly in the comic books, kind of not street level, but like DC always had like made up cities, like Spider-Man is in New York, you know, like, and it's weird that he's going to probably be in some interdimensional thing. And it's just like, and I know those stories exist and it's whatever, but I'm looking forward to, I mean, introduction of X-Men eventually and that sort of thing. So I'm just kind of like we'll get through it. And Lord willing, on the other side, it'll be better. But
Lord willing, God, from my lips to your ears. I'm with you. I feel like they've lost their way a little bit, honestly. Fun side note, Drew and I actually tried to do a comics blog at one point, and that failed. Yes. Nobody read it except our moms, and they were like, what are you even talking about, right? But actually, that's not true. I don't think my mom read it.
Yeah,
Drew,
mine,
you probably, probably know that. So.
Yeah.
But
is it still out there, Chad? Can we find this?
I hope not.
Listen,
is GeoCities still a thing?
You know what?
Anybody have a GeoCities site? Yeah.
I just remembered that was a thing. I had no recollection of us doing
that. You forgot that we did that. That's how good it was.
Thing to own.
That's right. That's part of our history. Anyway, I do think the multiversal thing, I think they're trying to, it's because they bought Fox and this is their best way of doing it. And you're right. I'm with you. I hope they land that plane soon. I still think we got a couple of years. And I think they have tried to diversify too much. And I'm not talking like diversity. I'm talking about like, hey, this is our horror show. This is our spy one. This is our, you know, that kind of a thing. And what made it successful was it was a unified story while still being able to tell the sub, you know, the B-sides essentially on the way. And so I'm with you. Some of these shows, it's become unwatchable, honestly, because it's like, this is not even something that interests me.
He's talking about She-Hulk.
Whoa. I wasn't going to out anybody, but also Uncanny Valley all over that.
Yeah.
All right. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead and Google it and then Google She-Hulk Uncanny Valley and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So.
All right.
Last one. The podcast you personally recommend outside of your own.
My Voxology podcast. It is a podcast that has a sort of a lead minister guy, a worship guy, but they dive deeply into deconstruction and helping people not lose their faith and stay connected to Jesus. They talk about current events, culture, you know, just how the church should be or shouldn't be, how all of this sort of thing. It's just a they take broad sweeping looks at what it means to follow Jesus. And I, in a lot of ways, they're also my conversation partners. Like I listen to them and then like it's a lot of things that Fred and I talk about, like I'm probably channeling what they're saying, you know, as I'm hearing and just trying to work through things. So yeah, Boxology podcast, I would recommend that highly.
I would recommend the It Starts With a Goal with John Acuff podcast. I really appreciate John Acuff as a writer and a speaker, and just the way he shares and brings a lot of humor to it, but also allow you and a lot of stuff that's meaningful and I think practical. So that would be my recommendation for sure.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, guys. You're out of the lightning round.
Nice.
You did it.
Woo.
I think we can do this moving forward, season two. I think that was fun. So
bring it on. Yeah.
To be continued. Okay. Just kind of being mindful of your time. I do have just a few more questions. And then we'll get you on out of here. Does that sound good?
Sure. Yeah, we're good.
So, keeping in vain with the next 40 title, looking back on the previous 40, what do you think you would say to a younger version of you?
I think I would say to a younger version of me to be okay with owning the fact that you don't know everything and just lean into the wisdom of people that have been doing this for a while and be okay with that. And then kind of filter through those voices and, you know, and obviously lean into God, to ask him to help, you know, help you discern what to hold on to and what to let go. I would do that for sure.
I would tell my younger self, to lean more heavily into my relationship with Jesus than I did early on. I would tell my younger self that you're going to have some ups and downs, but God is going to be faithful throughout it. And I hope with that was like a time travel thing that I would be a better person answering this question, you know, like be further along in my journey. So there's actually some like weird sci-fi strategy I have here.
Yes.
But
yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I think I'm just burdened at times by the fact that I got here at 42. I wish I had gotten here at 26. Mm. And so, yeah, that's what I would tell my younger self.
Yeah, that's good.
I appreciate your your candor here. In fact, I think that really segues really well into the next question. And that is, so in the same vein, looking ahead to the next 40, and maybe this is some of the same answer, but maybe pull it out a little bit more. What do you want to keep at the forefront as you journey forward from here?
Yeah, I mean, it's the priority of rest, the priority of just kind of owning the fact that you don't have to do all of this yourself, and trusting other people around you, surrounding yourself with good people that are gifted, that they can take care of things. But also that you just love journeying together with. So I think that will preserve me. And then also the priority of family and my wife and kids is, you know, if I'm successful in ministry, but it's at the mercy of the family relationships that I have, then I don't know if that's success in ministry.
Right.
Wow. Good.
Yeah, I could be a broken record and say the things I've already said. But I think for me, we're walking forward. It's learning to hold life loosely, that God, to follow his steps and stop trying to carved my own out. A lot of my life has been me thinking I know best. If I can, you know, even in the season I'm in currently, I'm being taught that lesson over and over, is that I don't actually have the control that I think I do. And throughout this season and this portion, God just keeps reminding me of that. And it then forces me to my knees. It forces me to remembering how faithful he is. And so I would just continue to take that with me. Pull out of less of me and more of him.
Wow. That's good. Those are both good. And I genuinely mean it, not to, you know, elevate one over the other. Like that's really, see, I do that. I mess, if we're owning stuff, I'll take a great moment and I try to make it funny because I'm uncomfortable in that space and I don't know what that's about. So I'm just going to, you guys have taught me just in this short period of time we've talked. I just so appreciate that.
Lean into it. Okay.
Last thing. Yeah, exactly. Last question. We'll get you guys out on this. And I like to end kind of, it's real easy to go, This is what's wrong with ministry. These are things, the challenges we have to face and, you know, kind of a thing. But I'm curious, as you guys are looking forward and knowing that you are also, you know, you're growing and evolving and your own personal lives and even your own walk with Jesus, what is it that's encouraging you or inspiring you about ministry as we look ahead?
For me, I think there's a movement returning to Jesus style disciple making, which, you know, even as you're referencing discipleship at the beginning of this episode, it's popping up in all of these different places. And I don't know that that means the death of the normal church. I don't think it does. I think it just means the growth and the transformation of people the way Jesus hoped. So I'm excited for that process and to see that it's just popping up naturally. In all different areas and venues.
Yeah, I'm excited because it seems like there's a lot more adversity to the gospel and adversity towards the church and those types of things right now. I hesitate to use the word persecution because of what that means on a global scale and how that is not necessarily accurate to what is happening here in America. However, the adversity that the church is undergoing and that is present towards the gospel actually presents such a great opportunity for seeing the Holy Spirit at work in ways we've never seen it maybe in our lifetime. And so that's something I'm excited to see, and how that may take place in smaller personal gatherings, you know, just a smaller group of people in a living room, or, you know, smaller group of people that are meeting around coffee or whatever it is. And there's just gospel conversations at the center of it. That's what's exciting to me. And I look forward to that.
Well,
yeah.
Drew and Fred, I just want to say, and I won't speak for Brenton, I'll let him speak. Thank you so much just for your time. I know this is, it's fun to try to coordinate four different schedules together in three different states. And, but this has just been it's been a filling time for me, and hopefully it has been for you guys, but I just want to say thank you for, just gifting us your presence and your voices and just the time you've given us here today.
Thanks for what you guys are doing. This is going to be really meaningful. A lot of people are going to find value in this, and, just keep up doing the good work that you are.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Ministry Without Hating It. We hope it's helped you take a step further to loving what you do more through the wisdom of others. We want to again thank today's guests, Drew Dodd and Fred Schmidt. Man, just a lot of fun. I hope that you had fun listening to this, but at the same time, you're able to just pull out some of the wisdom that they've learned just in their time in ministry and making podcasts and even just community and how that really comes out of our authenticity and that you're able to lean into that yourself. If you'd like to connect further with them and find links to their podcast, The Next 40, we have made ways to do so available in the episode show notes, which you can find on ministrywithouthatingit.com or in the podcast that you're listening to, and get those links right there. And as always, you can find more episodes and resources at withouthatingit.com. And don't forget to subscribe to Ministry Without Hating It wherever it is that you get your podcasts, so you don't miss out on our future episode releases. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.